It's a story that we all know so well. We've probably been listening to this story since Sunday school days. Maybe like me, you got the joy of being the donkey and clip-clop the coconut shells. Do people still clip-clop coconut shells? I don't know whether it's a thing or not, but that was my big, I was clip-clopping on Palm Sunday. And we know it so well. And yet, isn't it amazing? One of the things that we remember about Palm Sunday is the donkey. And it's not really to do with the donkey. It's a reminder that Jesus is King. Jesus is King. And the streets are lined. Streets are lined with people who are cheering and waving, welcoming their king into Jerusalem as he rides humbly from the Mount of Olives down into the city of Jerusalem, and they welcome him there. But it's not the first time that a king has arrived in Jerusalem on a donkey. If you were to go back to 1 Kings, the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 1, you find David, King David. He's no longer the young man who fights giants, who is victorious in battle. He's an old man. People around him are starting to position themselves to see who will take over as king, who will be the next king. One of his sons, Adonijah, starts to make all of these political and military alliances. He starts to position himself so that he'll be in the right place to take over when David is no more. David either doesn't see this or doesn't want to see this, but Bathsheba, David's wife, points it out. Your son Solomon should be king, not Adonijah. And so David takes Solomon and puts him on the back of his own donkey on the Mount of Olives. And Solomon makes his way down the Mount of Olives and into the city of Jerusalem. It's a bit like Charles being in the coronation coach as it makes its way along the mile. This is King David proclaiming, here is my son. This is Solomon. He's going to be king. And so this donkey makes its way slowly down into Jerusalem. It's a public proclamation that Solomon is king. Unwind the clock forward to that first Palm Sunday when Jesus chooses to enter Jerusalem, coming down off the Mount of Olives, seated on a donkey. It's a public proclamation. It's a declaration that here is the chosen son of David. The one who would be on his throne, not just for a short time as Solomon was, the one who would be on his throne forever. And so Jesus makes his way in. This is the one of whom the prophet Zechariah spoke. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous, having salvation, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is your king. Yes, Solomon was a king. But this is the king who has come. This is the one whose kingdom will never end, who's slowly clip-clopping his way across the valley and into Jerusalem. And the crowds give him a right royal welcome, as they should. Not only do they put their cloaks on the back of the donkey for him to sit on, they spread their cloaks across the road. They throw them out across the road. Can you imagine? Taking off your nice jackets and your coats and throwing them out across the road. A royal welcome. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. It's from Psalm 118. If you're using the Daily Bread notes, we will have read it this morning. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They knew. They knew they were welcoming a king. And so we simply, Brian read for us, joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen, they sing his praises. They remember what Jesus had done. Maybe it was the raising of Lazarus, which had just happened quite recently. Maybe that's in their minds. Maybe it's some of the other many, many miracles that Jesus has done. Whatever it is, they realize this is the King coming. And they cheer Jesus as he makes his way in. Palm Sunday is one of those events that's both understood and misunderstood. They were quite right. They were cheering. They were welcoming a king. Of course they were. They understood that much. Maybe they remembered those verses from Psalms as they cheered them out. Maybe they remembered that story of Solomon making his way into the kingdom. Maybe they remembered the prophecy of Zechariah that their king would come gentle and humbly on a donkey. They understood those things. Jesus really is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. He really is. They understood that much, and yet there was obviously a great misunderstanding because they expected Jesus to make his way to the palace. They expected Jesus to be sitting on a throne. They expected Jesus by his might to set Israel free. And they misunderstood so much as well. Yes, Jesus would take his throne, but he wouldn't take it by military might. Jesus would take his throne by suffering, by dying, by rising again. Behold your King. Behold your King. And amongst the crowds, the Pharisees watch and they listen. They're welcoming a king. They're giving thanks to God for the miracles that Jesus is doing. And so they stop Jesus and they say to Jesus, listen to what's going on. These people think you're God. These people think you're God's Messiah. Come, tell them to be quiet. Rebuke them. Tone it down a bit. Don't rock the boat, Jesus, whatever you do. And Jesus has this amazing reply. I tell you, if they keep quiet, if these crowds keep quiet, the very stones will cry out. If the people don't celebrate, the very stones will cry out. Perhaps he points around them. These stones. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of visiting Jerusalem and being on Mount Olive and the Mount of Olives and coming down into the city. And actually, this passage was in my head, and I thought, goodness, look at the stones. I wonder if these are stones that were here all those years ago when Jesus walked in here on his donkey. Are these the stones that Jesus pointed to? So Jesus says, no, the people's praise is to be encouraged. Could the King of Kings go into Jerusalem without honor? Could the King of Kings be welcomed as people stood quietly by? And Jesus says, no, for he will be praised. Jesus will be praised. The Bible says that a day will come when every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Colossians, we read that all creation is made for God's glory. Everything in creation declares his praise. And as those of us, those who are created in God's image, we should be at the very center, at the very heart of that praise. We should be those who even now bow the knee and confess that Jesus is Lord. These people were doing what they were created for. They were created to honor and to worship God, and that's what they were doing. Everything and everyone was created for the pleasure and the worship of God. And when we miss out on that, then we miss out on our whole purpose. We wonder why. Why does life never seem satisfying? Why are we never fulfilled? Whenever we've been successful, whenever we've achieved a lot, whenever we've accumulated a lot, why do we still feel empty and unsatisfied? Well, the Bible simply says you are meant for more than this. You were created to worship God. As good Presbyterians, you will finish the sentence, man's chief end is... Wonderful. Probably like me, you can't repeat many of the others, but you can get that one. That's our purpose. Our chief end, our purpose is not to accumulate and achieve and succeed. Our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what these folks were doing. Jesus, tell them to tone it down a bit. Jesus, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus says, no, you just don't get this. If they're quiet about it, the rest of creation, including these stones, is going to sing out. We know how that crowd will behave. That cheering, adoring crowd will slowly morph into a crowd that is baying for blood. A crowd that is crying out for Jesus to be crucified. We know so much more than that crowd. We know that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. We know that He rose again victorious over sin and death and hell. We know that He has ascended on high and even now is praying for us. So we in this day have so much more reason to sing out our praise. Not just as we sing our hymns, wonderful singing, great singing, encouraging, uplifting, and that's part of it, but singing out His praise is how we live from day to day. It's about our demeanor. It's about how we interact with other people. It's about our priorities. It's about our standards. It's about our love for this King who comes in the name of the Lord. How much more reason have we to cry out in praise than those folks who welcomed Jesus on that first Palm Sunday? We know the subsequent events of that week, and we can give praise and thanks to God our Father. What keeps you quiet? What keeps us quiet? Knowing all this, experiencing all this grace of God, and we sit quiet. May God give us the grace to live for Him, to glorify Him and enjoy Him. Not just for an Easter season, but forever. May God give us the grace to give Him praise and glory in every aspect of our lives. May God give us the grace to realize what Jesus has done for us and the gifts He has given to us in His Son And may we respond to the praise of his glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we are sorry that our familiarity with so many events in Scripture dulls our excitement, quashes our joy. And so, Lord, today and during the events of this week and next weekend, we pray that these things would be very real to us, that you would be very present to us by your Holy Spirit, that as we read of the events of this Holy Week, as we live through them, as we experience them, that you would work in our lives. And then, Lord, help us to welcome the King of Kings all day, every day. And all of this we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.